Well, joining us once again for his regular chat, and that's Mr. Ken Bates. Morning, KB.
Good morning.
How are you?
Sun shining, gentle breeze. I'm very well.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Now, quite a bit to go through this week, KB. Let's start with Leeds United. New boss, Steve Evans. Uwe Rosler sacked at the beginning of this week. What's been your thoughts on a very hectic week, even by Leeds United standards?
Well, quite frankly, I just find it all very confusing. I mean, Massimo was saying that Uwe Rosler had his unqualified backing, no problem at all. And then they lose on Saturday. He's sacked on the Monday. And Steve Evans is already being interviewed on the Monday. And take on the game at Fulham. Take control of the game at Fulham. But, I mean, Steve Evans was sacked from Rotherham for being bottom of the league. So, well, I don't know anything about the man, but once again, what credentials does he have to take Leeds into the Premiership? At least he says he's got the assurance that he'll pick the team, which makes you ask, was the team not picked by the manager previously? It's just confusing. And on top of that now, of course, we've got Massimo's ban, a second ban for the Football League. Who now is going to run the club? No doubt Massimo will run it from behind the scenes via telephone calls. You can't stop those. Which is how Malcolm Allison ran Manchester City when he had a four-week ban about 40-odd years ago. And, of course, you had Mourinho, who was banned by UEFA for a Champions League match, simply smugging himself in the dressing room in the laundry basket. So where there's a will, there's a way. You've still got to have somebody at the club who answers the questions, deals with the press, and can give reasonable assurances to the fans that, A, they have got a club, and B, it has a modicum of management. But it seems at the moment that nothing goes on. There are court cases outstanding where he's not giving direction to the solicitors, so the things are stalling, some of which are stalling adversely to the club. But more importantly, Leeds, this kind of reputation creates unrest outside the club, and which then also prejudices the opportunity of Leeds signing good players. Because, put it bluntly, who wants to go and play for a club and put his career on the line if you don't know what's going to happen from one month to the next? This unsettling is, very unsettling.
What are your thoughts, KB? I mean, just moving further on with Massimo Cellino, it seems that the fans are running out of patience with the Italian owner now. And from your point of view, you were under some pressure when you were at Leeds United, certainly from quite a vocal section of the supporters. What does it do to an owner, to a chairman, when fans start to turn?
Well, if you're taking the long view, the trouble is, you see, fans want to be told what they want to hear, which in the short term makes you popular. And you heard Cellino's statement about the fact that the club belongs to the fans. He wants to keep the fans happy. He's going to win promotion. Do this, do that. He's going to cut the prices. All very popular. Whereas what happens actually, if you're taking the owner chairman is taking the long-term view. He has to tell the fans what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. And that is the problem. Because when a club is in trouble, as Leeds clearly are now, then unpopular decisions have to be taken. But if you, and fans, understandably, look at next Saturday, the chairman has to look at the horizon, look beyond the result of next Saturday, good, bad or indifferent. But if you're making unpopular or decisions that aren't capable of comprehension at the same time that the team's playing badly, then you have a double whammy. And that's what's happening here. And of course he did this silly thing about limiting away tickets for Leeds fans. I know the point he was trying to make. The point he was trying to make was that with the games being moved around, and certainly 10 out of 23 is not fair, and the league should do something about it. We used to have, when I was helping money in the league, we used to have a maximum number of times that clubs could appear. But Massimo's idea is to punish the other clubs because, for example, we're taking 6,000 to Bolton on Saturday. If they're only taking two, that's a loss of 4,000. I think I mentioned this before. Loss of 4,000 ticket sales. Then, I don't know, over 1,000 programme sales, maybe 4,000 pies, 8,000 pints. So it goes on. And so they're probably, Bolton will probably lose about 100,000. Because Leeds are the best supported club in the Football League, away from home, consistently, then it's probably the 23 other clubs, it's their biggest payday when Leeds turn up. So his idea is to punish them, put pressure on the league, to cut down the number of match changes. But you don't do it by hitting your own supporters. He's now, of course, had to make a humiliating U-turn after representations to reverse that. But the fact that he's reversed it meant he didn't think it through in the first place or consult with anybody to, you know, bounce the ideas off some kind of sounding board. He just made the decision. And because he is very authoritarian, nobody points anything out to him. What he says goes. I'm very glad he's reversed it, but he still left a nasty taste in his mouth. And apparently on Tuesday night they were chanting, "Time to go, Marcelino." He wasn't there, so he didn't hear it. But you do have to have a thick skin anyway. It's much harder now with social media, where an awful lot of people haven't got many guts. Are very brave, you know, anonymous tweets, but it affects all sorts of people. First of all, decent people or prospective investors or suppliers or sponsors don't want the aggravation, don't want to go near it, and that's why I finish up in the end selling to a GFH Capital, which was a disaster. They didn't have the money they boasted they had. Well, they lied to that. Don't forget, they bought the club in December 2012. And my wife had to lend them the wages, the money to pay the wages, 3 months afterwards. Is that the sign of an international financial giant? Hardly. But because of all the nonsense stirred up on social media, a lot of decent investors walked away so they wouldn't touch the club with a barge pole. And that is one of the problems that you have with big clubs in the Championship. Because people who are not in football see the gold dust of Premiership money in their eyes, and they get in hoping to make a quick fix. Quick buck, quick fix. If GFH had been promoted in the first year they'd acquired the club, well, they were guaranteed 100 million quid, which would have propped up their balance sheet and their profit and loss account, and given them money. Because as we've seen in case of Blackpool, it doesn't necessarily follow the money that goes into football, into the football club, from sponsors and TV rights, doesn't always stay in the football club. Goes out. An awful lot of it has gone out to the Royston family. That's why, having been in the Premiership, they're now bottom of League One, heading for League Two. But again, because it's such a mess, who want to get involved in there? Because the first thing you have to do, you make unpleasant decisions, unpopular decisions. And not many, I mean, who would want to play for Leeds at the moment? Perfect example is model thinking. In Sam Byron, we have a future England player, in my opinion. He was a kid when I came in 2005. We watched him go up through the academy, the marvellous academy, run by Redfern and Lucy Ward, which has been devastated over the last couple of years. I don't know what kind of job Hart will do. Again, I know nothing of him other than as a former player. But even if he does a good job, you've got to start from scratch. It'll be 5 or 6 years before you see the fruits of your labours coming through. And that's what I'm afraid sometimes owners don't realise. But Byron is an example. He's on a 3-year contract. He's out in June. And he'll be able to walk out on a free transfer. Now, it's true that because he's under 25, Leeds will get compensation for him. But we don't really want the money. We want the player. Byron is an outstanding player. But Messam asked him to sign a new contract, take a cut in wages. Well, I know Murphy did, took a cut in wages. The Arabs were out-pokered in the game of poker when they signed him, and they paid him far over the odds, so yeah, I'm sure his new contract fully reflects his value. But Byron doesn't. And then to be told that he's had the interest in the money, it's unfair. You don't criticise your players in public. But where Warnock did that with Tom Lees, destroyed his confidence, didn't pick him, didn't play him. So he gave Lees on a free, goes to Sheffield Wednesday. Anybody watch the game this weekend? He's a fine player. And Leeds through and through. And we've lost him. And we don't want to lose Byron. And we don't want to lose Cook, or Mowat, or Cooper, Taylor. We want to keep them, because they're Yorkshiremen. Yorkshire bred Yorkshiremen through and through. So we've got the basis there of a team to challenge Don Revie's team. But you have to be stable, you have to inspire people with confidence, and you believe in them. And anybody who saw that lovely photograph, team photograph, West Ham, was printed, I think, in the Daily Mail or the Mail on Sunday, I can't remember now. But their team photograph consisted of everybody from the joint chairman, not just the players, down to the cleaners, the security men, people working the ticket office, They're all part of the team. And that's the kind of team spirit we developed at Leeds. That were these idiot Arabs, and now followed by, that's all been smashed, it's in tatters. Everybody's frightened, doesn't know who they can talk to. It's not a very happy club. And it's all self-destruction. It's a great tragedy.
Moving away from Leeds United, KB, and more coming out now about the FIFA crisis and a payment that has been made between Sepp Blatter to the UEFA chief, Michel Platini, has been termed a conflict of interest, the chairman of the World Governing Body's Audit and Compliance Committee has said. This is all down to about a £1.35 million payment that was made for work that Platini did as Blatter's advisor. But it's just putting more and more pressure on Michel Platini, who was once the front runner to take over from Sepp Blatter.
Well, I've never liked Platini, and it goes back a long way. In fact, he's 27 years old. 27 years ago this happened, and I'll tell you a story that just to me gave some indication of the man. So in 1988, the league, Football League, was 100 years old. And they got an outside firm in consultants to plan their 100 years of celebrations. And quite frankly, it was going very badly. And I was asked if I'd sort the mess out. And one of the big things was going to be the match at Wembley, Football League 11 versus the rest of Europe 11. I got Terry Venables as the manager of the England team, and he picked his own 11. I can't remember now who he had to handle the European. Anyway, it was a great. What could have been a good day out turned out to be a meaningless friendly with too many substitutions, and he was rightly slagged off by the press. But anyway, we said we'd pay, obviously, everybody's travelling expenses. And I got a phone call from Andy Williamson, I think he was, at the league, who said that he just got... Platini was one of the players playing for Europe. And he asked Platini for his expense account. And he charged £5,000 for his use of his private jet to come to the game. What should he do? And the money, by the way, was going to charity, the receipts from the game. Don't pay it. He said, what shall I pay him? I was to find out price of a first-class return Air France, Paris, London. Had 50 quid on for taxi fares. And tell him that's it and stuff the rest. So we didn't hear any more from Platini. And I'm wondering if that's the reason why he'd been so anti-English ever since. But I thought it was a damn cheek and a ruddy liberty. And that, to me, was the measure of the man. So there you are. But the fact of the matter is, if you look at an organisation like FIFA, if you're in it at almost any level, whatever happens at the top filters its way down to the bottom. So who looks after the petty cash, for example? When do people's personal post go out on the FIFA franking machine? Does milk get taken home out of the canteen? I mean, from that upwards. And you have a little hint of it at the FA, where Greg Dyke is now trying to cut back, but you have to ask how it grew. I mean, in Brazil, our group was considered 88 people. Well, how many people need to run a football team? There are an awful lot of hangers-on of that 88. Probably should have about 30, 35. But that's where the money goes. And that's the attitude. It's the culture. So Platini could not have been so high up, so lovey-dovey with Blatter, without the mud splashing on them. The problem is, who is there available? We've got two Arabs bidding. One of them is or was involved in the Qatar 22 World Cup, which is now having questions raised on it. Who is there? Because unfortunately corruption is widespread throughout Africa and the Far East. What we want is a... And they said white to them white, but somebody complained about it being racist, but he wasn't intended to be. We need somebody from Europe who's strong enough to take it on. Not taking a new broom to FIFA. It's more like taking a machine gun and start again. We have a serious problem. Then again, 15 years ago, I was advocating at the FA that we and a lot of other European countries should resign from FIFA and then invite other associations to join and enlarge FIFA, and enlarge UEFA and go from there. But unfortunately, it never happened. Very few people have the guts to make really revolutionary changes. And that's why we're where we are today.
Finally, KB, move on to more positive things. And, of course, the chance for listeners of Radio Yorkshire to...
Just before we do that, Darren,
yeah.
Returning to Leeds, I should point out that one of the things that's particularly disappointing at Leeds is that the Nigel Gibbs was sacked over a year ago. It hasn't been paid off. And Lucy Ward is also having to sue for wrongful dismissal because Massimo hasn't paid her off. Now, how are these people supposed to work? It's not good enough. Massimo is a rich man. And the players, even if they're not earning as much as they'd like to earn, are still earning plenty. But the backroom people who are sacked, for whatever reason, should be paid. It's not very much for Leeds United. There's a hell of a lot for ordinary staff who aren't paid. And don't forget Lorna Tinker, Norbert Pinchler. Even when they got cancer, it took them months to get their pay. Not good. And there was a guy at Yorkshire Radio, when the Arabs shut him down, they owed one guy £20,000. £20,000. These rich Arabs, these multi-billionaires, they made him wait 4 months and paid him £5,000 a month in his £20,000 settlement. Makes you sick, doesn't it? There you are. But if somebody who speaks English is listening to this and is close to Massimo, then for his own self-respect and reputation, he should settle the staff he fired without delay. Now we can get on.
Finishing up with the competition. It's the Radio Yorkshire Box 44 comp again, KB. And this time it's, once again, the line's still open for Leeds United against Blackburn Rovers.
Right. Well, that'll be a game. Another derby. Lancashire versus Yorkshire, or Yorkshire versus Lancashire. Not a bad club then. I was chatting to Rob Coor, the chairman, earlier this week, and he was saying that after the turbulence they had of Mr. Jerome Anderson was running the club briefly on behalf of the Indians, they've now settled down, the turbulence is out over, and they're not playing badly, so it should be a jolly good game. And a chance to get a home win. Let's face it, if you win one of these tickets when you're an old man, reminiscing to your grandchild, grandson, or an old woman, reminiscing to her grandson, you can say, when Leeds scored won the first home game, 10 months, I was there. What a happy thought in your old age to come. Meanwhile, you'll now have to listen to Darren to compete. I hope the Jordan hat name comes out of the hat.
And here's the question. Which of the following players have scored for Leeds United but not Blackburn Rovers? Is it A, David Batty, B, El Hadji Diouf, or C, Paul Robinson? Text DAB and your answer A, B or C to 84383. Your text costs £1 plus your standard message rate. And entry to the competition closes today. 27th of October. Winners chosen shortly after. All the T's and C's are at radioyorkshire.co.uk. KB, as ever, pleasure.
One last thing,
Darren,
before you go. Tell the listeners, how's it coming on? How's TV Yorkshire developing? I know you've been doing your trials. I'm doing a few transmissions.
That's quite right, yeah. There's a lot of excitement, a lot of different shows are being produced now, and people need to obviously log on to TV Yorkshire on the Twitter to find out all of what we're doing, and look out for some rather big prizes coming up to when we launch TV Yorkshire properly over the next week or so. There's some exciting things happening, especially if you're a Leeds United fan, if you're a fan of movies, if you're a fan of sport generally. There is just so much content. Very, very exciting, and we can't wait to for everybody to see the fruits of our labour, KB. So everybody getting very busy.
But what we're doing now is giving people a taste of the goodies to come.
Exactly right, exactly right. Yeah. So
certainly better than the local lead station.
There's always room for more. Always room for more, isn't there? So, yeah, look on Twitter at TV Yorkshire for more updates on what's been happening and all the content that you could be able to consume on whatever device you want to consume it on here from TV Yorkshire. KB, thank you very much for your time this week.
Thank you. Good luck.